In this episode of Cubs Out Loud, the guys pick the brain of worldly-traveled Mr. Gabriel Majors. We talk about everything, including the leather community, bootblacking, gold star gays, and being a force of change. And this is only the first part. COL 247 Part 1 starts now. February 2nd, 2014. I'm Jeff.
Me, not that kind of orc.
I'm Damon.
Everybody dance now!
And that makes me Gary.
No, she didn't. Ooh, girl!
And welcome to Cubs Out Loud, the Bear Podcast of Indeterminate Length, episode number 247. And I have some pills to take, but that's a...
Happy Groundhog's Day!
Yeah. Happy Groundhog Day. Happy Superb Owl Day. There's a reason for that, because we can't really say the other way of saying it. Otherwise, we have to pay up boku bucks, apparently.
Really?
Something like that. Yeah. It's kind of like Happy Birthday.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Except
not.
The NFL is a little bit more strict. So quick question for you guys, Seahawks or Broncos?
Oh God.
Crickets. Okay.
Given that I don't follow football, I'm going to go with the pretty horses. That's what I'm going to go with.
Oh, good Lord. They're not, you're not a brony. Let's not start.
Okay.
That.
Here's the thing is. Here's the thing is, you can actually say the names of the teams. You just can't say Super.
Oh no, I'm just saying pretty horses because I can.
It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, by the way, quickly here because I want him to chime in. We have our very special guest, Gabe Majors, which you all heard from the
Gabriel
thing. Hello, everybody.
Mr. Gabriel's here. Yay!
That's Mr. Majors to you, Gary.
Really? You're going to do this now on a podcast? No.
Not on your podcast. I bow. I'm sorry. But as for the superb owl, who?
Yeah, the Seahawks or the Bronco.
Okay. Who?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's really bad.
I'm voting for the Seahawks because I want to hear. I want to hear Brian Ibbett, the host of Coverville, sing a song on the morning stream.
Oh.
Because I do not want to hear Scott Johnson sing a song on the morning stream.
Uh oh.
Gotcha.
Because I think at some least kind of get some going, I take out it. Of Brian Ibbett, but that's just me. Anyways, that's another matter altogether. Moving on. Just so you all know, right now Eric is recreating himself with D20s.
Yay.
Hey, guess what? I just got a cup of coffee.
Isn't it great to have a houseboy?
Oh.
I'm kidding.
It's his house, so I don't think it qualifies.
So he's just being a good host. Oh, gotcha. Okay. Also, Robert is currently spelunking with some sketchy dwarves in the Underhome, so he finally got out of hell. Unfortunately, he's still working his way up.
Dwarves. Mm.
Yeah.
Don't get me started on dwarves. All right. So, especially considering the comments I made during the Disney episode.
Yes.
So, that's... Let's quickly do this. So, guys, what's going on?
This week was interesting. I tried teaching people things that I know how to do, which may sound non-exciting if people know what I do, that I'm a corporate trainer and developer. But this was part of my capacity, like with that skill. But I, thinking back on it, to give a little behind the curtain, so to speak, of what we do here with the episode. If you haven't kind of heard before or had reference, we have a shared Google Doc up, and we as hosts are typing on it, and that's how we like have some semblance of a format to what the hell we do. And I was with members of my management team for my company I work with at a what we call an offsite meeting, and I was trying to show them and get them to use Google Docs.
Was
a little painful, only because they are by company, we're mostly forced to use Internet Explorer as our browser, and Google doesn't like that, and it constantly has hiccupy issues and puts up little things like, you should change your browser, this is shitty. Well, it doesn't say shitty, but so that was kind of painful. The whole point was they started to get it, because I'm so used to doing it now with you guys and some and other things that I work on, that I love the live interaction of seeing what people are doing and that kind of stuff. And with the two of them, it was very difficult because they didn't understand that wherever they placed their cursor kind of jumped the document a little bit. So I'm trying to type and then it like moves and does different stuff. And
oh no.
So yeah, so that was a little fun adventure. And then last night I was up very late. I was with one of my committee members at his job actually. And which is kind of a long story. I don't know about many people. Usually most folks don't get to hang out with their friends while they're working, but this is kind of a unique scenario. And so I was working on a lot of Bear Run stuff last night. So he was seeing like me working on spreadsheets and handling emails and looking at documents and different stuff. So he was getting a little bit of an eye opening that way. And it was funny because I'd been there for several hours. And at one point he was like, are you still working on stuff? And I was like, yep. I was like, I told you I'm bringing my laptop. I got shit to get done. So... So people learned some things from me this week, but that was kind of it. It hasn't been exciting otherwise, other than the weather is representative of Mother Nature going through menopause. Because while I love her, she done been a bitch this week because yes. It was cold and it was like snowing and then it was icy and then she had a fucking hot flash yesterday. And it was like 42 and everything was melting and it rained all day. And then, of course, last night while I was up late overnight with my committee member, who was my friend, it started snowing and then everything turned to ice and slush. So it's back to winter wonderland today. And I'm not really happy about that. But that's all I'm going to say.
Menopause.
No. Mr. David, what have you been up to?
More theater, yes. Considering the name Theater Cub, yeah, okay. So on Wednesday, instead of going to rehearsal for the Cincinnati Men's Chorus, I went to see opening night of the regional premiere of a show called Tribes by Anina Rain. And the show actually would be something Gabriel would like, I think, or would be interested in seeing. Yeah. It is about a, I'm summarizing, but it is about a deaf boy or man who is deaf from birth, being raised in a family of all, hearing, and he learned how to lip read. And that's how he, communicated and everything like that. And he meets a girl who parents were deaf, but she was born hearing, but is now losing her hearing and is, but learned sign language. And it's very interesting. They're meeting and they kind of fall in love. And that's kind of the main thread of the story. There are other things too. But a lot of the show is done in sign language. And sometimes with, and for those hearing people who don't read sign language, they had, subtitles of what they were doing in sign and everything. But the show was amazing. Just absolutely amazing. It is a beautiful story. The girl who played Sylvia, who was the character who, the girl who was going deaf, was brilliant, and it was an amazing show, and I really definitely will say go see it. Not even if you don't know sign language or it's nothing, it's an interesting dynamic that you don't think about in regards to those who are hearing and those who are non-hearing and those who are deaf and everything. And it blew my mind. I was near tears at the end of the show, at the end of the play. So, look it up. It's great. Tribes, it had its regional premiere here. It's only run until the 16th of February. So if you get a chance to come up here, maybe you can see it, blah, blah, blah. Maybe hang out. Hintity, hint, hint, hint. No. And then that was Wednesday. On Saturday, we surprised a friend of ours who was in a show called Hello Maine at a community theater production here in Mason Community Players. And it's one of Jim's friends, and it was really nice to kind of see her. And the show was really good, had a lot of potential. That's a really good compliment for any community theater production, is that the play in and of itself is really good, and the cast did a really good job of presenting the play. But it's local theater kind of thing, so it was kind of cool. After that, Jim and I decided to go to it's a mailbox party, MALEBOX, it was kind of meant to be an early Valentine's Day thing. Where and it was put on by the Rough Pups here in Cincinnati, which is a pup leather fetish group, and you get a number and they have cards and you can put you tack things to this board, and someone, it's like sending a message. It's Growler before Growler. It was all like email, even before email. It's just, I think you're hot. And you go and check your mailbox, and you look at the thing, and you're like, "Okay, cool."
Kind of.
Kind of like the scene in Bear City.
Yes,
exactly.
Bert and Ernie are at the place, and they were looking for a threesome.
Yeah.
What's so funny is I've been to a party like that where they read stuff out loud on stage.
Oh. That would have been hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was fun. We got to meet a couple of guys. This guy who I knew years ago and finally reconnected with, and his boy in training, as it were. And Jim surprisingly knew the boy in training, and we just kind of spent the night kind of talking and hanging out, and that was just fun in and of itself. Mm-hmm. I don't think the boy in training is going to work out, but that's not me. And I don't, just based on the way that they were talking and interacting with each other, I don't know if it's going to work, but it's not my say. So we'll see. Yeah, it was a good weekend. And I'm actually on my way after this to do an rehearsal for the men's choruses cabaret next weekend. So yeah, crazy, crazy busy, but it's been fun.
Awesome. And cool. This week I've gotten my 15th 90. So I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 more tunes to go. So
cool.
That's my thrilling week. How about you, Gabe?
Let's see. I didn't have to work Monday, and I got to work on Tuesday to find that someone had quit, so there was more work than I thought. Then I remembered I have this great podcast interview coming up on Sunday, so the rest of the week went well.
Good save.
Oh, and there was the whole IKEA thing.
Oh yeah.
The IKEA adventure in Cincinnati.
Once again, you guys are in Cincinnati.
We waved as we drove by, I promise, Damon. promise.
Thanks.
All right. So quickly, here is some quote unquote feedback. We had two more people come join us in our Bear Underground group, Big Sexy and Oh My Bear. That's Ohio, Michigan. I'm there. Over on Google Plus, following us is John Custers, Custers, K-U-S-T-E-R-S. We also got a like from Steve Cox on Facebook. I like your last name.
Hi, Steve. Nice Cox.
Go ahead, Gary. It's your turn. You have to make some kind of...
What?
Now, where's your snarky mark about Steve Cox?
I don't know him, so I'm going to just leave it alone.
Wow.
He's being a nice guy. Okay.
Safe.
We have a guest trying to behave.
All right. So, Gary, okay. You're the interviewer. So, moving on into our topic with our guest, Gabriel Maters. And started talking to him. And
good morning, everybody. Afternoon, depending where you are.
Yeah, that's the thing about podcasts. You never know what they're doing or where they are in their day when they listen.
Good night.
But I have coffee.
And that's one of the reasons why we do this in the afternoon. But at the end, say good night, everybody.
Nice.
Of course, that's more of a tradition thing. Anyway, right. Moving on.
So for those that... think that the voice sounds familiar, it would, because if you recall, back in December, I did a road trip show interview with several people, and Mr. Gabriel Maters, today's guest, was actually one of the folks that was in the room for the possibly longest recorded show in our history.
No doubt.
I know, now Jeff's mulling it over the data. He's like, was that the longest show that we ever recorded? But yeah, so we had a really good conversation then. And so we wanted to have Mr. Maters on and have a discussion about just who he is as a person and some topic conversation. He has an interesting life experience background. And I thought that it would be educational for folks, because the thing I like about the bear community, which I think is reflective of just the world overall, is that once you get to know somebody, there are things that just kind of come up and you're like, oh, like I didn't have any, like, looking at a person, you wouldn't know certain things about them, what they've experienced, what they've done, and those type of things. So I think the more we get to know people in the community, the more we understand better, like, how it crosses into different areas. It's kind of like a Venn diagram. There are different circles that overlay in those areas. So I guess to get started, Mr. Gabriel, and for those that are kind of wondering, Damon and I both know Gabriel personally, so we're probably going to end up referring to him as Gabe during the course of the interview, so we're not being rude or informal. We know him personally.
Wow. That did.
Well, you know people are going to think that we've all had sex together, so whatever. Let's just move beyond that. A little bit about your background, Gabe. I'm curious about, because you mentioned, I think before we started recording, that it seems like you've moved around quite a bit in geography as far as where you've lived.
Mm-hmm. I was my dad was in construction when I was growing up, and he was on the site construction. So every time something got built, it was time to move to a new city or a new location. And so he was in the army when I was born in West Germany, and a year or 11 months later, we moved back to the United States and started off in Virginia, and then started moving around to different jobs as he had different things to do. I've lived in several cities in Texas. I've lived in Birmingham, Alabama. This is the second time I've lived in Louisville, Kentucky, North Carolina, South Carolina, Seattle, Washington, right around there. There's, you know, several miles north within a 20-mile radius. I've lived in there. And that's where I want to go home to at some point in my life. That's where I want to end up. But, I lived in St. Louis, Missouri, lived all over. I did go to school in New Orleans. I was not out while I was in New Orleans. Big, awful I can't believe that. But.
Damn.
So yes, moved a lot. Huh. I think the last time my family and I counted, before the age of 21, we had moved like 18 times.
Wow.
Well, this is great though, because I can, most of the people I met when we first moved somewhere were my parents' friends. So I get along really well with people of that age group. And so whenever I move somewhere or go somewhere, I was very hesitant to meet people of my own age, but I was able to communicate and have conversations with people of a generation in their 20s and 30s. So.
Cool.
That's interesting. It also explains something I never picked up on in the years I've known or paid attention to. You do not have, you do not have a specific accent.
No, I don't. But I can put one on. You know, if you want to have a Southern accent, you just smile a lot. And you can tell someone to go to hell and they're going to enjoy the trip. But yeah, most of the time when I move somewhere new, I'll pick up a little bit of what they're doing there, but I don't have a real good accent. Make me a good newscaster, apparently.
Yes.
Yeah, because when you were talking previously about like all the Texas stuff, I was kind of like, whoa, like I didn't know that you lived in Texas at a certain point and kind of bounced around in that. So I think it's good. I think that from my perspective, that gives you a more rounded or worldly personality because of all the places that you've been to. You get to see different locations, different types of people, geographies. And I point that out because I grew up differently in that I pretty much was born, raised, and lived nearly most of my life into my 20s in one location. And I did travel like for vacations. I was kind of lucky in that my parents made a point of once a year we take at least a week-long vacation and go someplace. And mm-hmm. one special one was in the 80s when we took 3 weeks. And we literally like – and of course we never flew. We couldn't afford it, so we drove. So once we took a three-week vacation where I spent all 3 weeks pretty much in the back of a grocery getter, as I like to call them, old-style station wagon.
The one with the seat in the back that faced backwards?
No, like it was the one where it was just a big open space behind the second row. Okay. So like that was kind of like the Gary zone. And like, so I read books and I played games and stuff, but we drove all the way down to Florida and stayed with family. And then we did, you know, the Disney stuff. And then we traveled over to Texas and then, you know, we came back up and it was a very long time, but, I got to see things, but I never got to get out of my mental box of like, because when I went away to college, I freaked because even though I wanted to kind of get away, I also was very uncomfortable because I'd never been away. Like I couldn't get through my head that you'll be okay. Like you can be in another space, in another geographic place, and everything will be fine. Do you know what I mean? Even though you don't know anything, like you don't know the lay of land, you don't know the people, it's okay. And so I think like I see that as awesome for you that you had that experience kind of forced through it in a way in your life that you got to do that a lot. You know, it doesn't make you probably feel like you have roots very much, but I think it also builds to your personality. And I see that because, I meet people, especially, kind of putting on the run that I do or having been involved in the bear community so long, you get a feel for people's personalities, especially when they haven't traveled much or gone very far. And, you know, there'll be things that'll, they'll be like, wow, like I never knew, or like things are really eye opening to them. It's a brand new experience. And a lot of the people are standing around going, what's the big deal? Like, you know, they've mm-hmm. kind of been there, seen that, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. I had, at my company, there was a promotional contest of some kind and several people won tickets to Hawaii. Ooh. And there were a group of five people that would not go because they had never been on an airplane and it frightened them.
Huh.
I'm like, well, you can't drive. So yeah, they ended up putting their names back in the hat. And I'm thinking, what a thing to miss out on because you're afraid.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Take a chance.
Why?
God, why? Come on.
Well, and that's kind of the way I feel now, and I'm glad that I came out of my shell in college, and then I had another coming out, like I say, when I learned about the bear community in 2000, because then I just started traveling, and not extensive traveling, but traveling enough to like go to other states and see other people. And all of those things have gotten me to where I am now. You know what I mean? Like how I know both of you is because I got out of my box, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So I think that's pretty cool. I'm interested because we were talking about all the places you've lived. Have you, I think from what I know of you, you've had a kind of a varied list of career or job opportunities mm-hmm. over time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you mind talking about that at all?
Oh, no. I started working when I was, I guess, 15 or 16 while I was living in St. Louis. And we actually spent 3 years in that city so that I could finish college in the same school for 3 years. And I started out as a veterinarian's assistant. And then, as every gay man must, worked in food service. It was years before I could have pizza again.
Oh, God.
And then while I was in school at college at Tulane University in New Orleans, I had to work through college. And so I had two work study jobs. One was in a bar as a bartender there on campus. Yes, New Orleans. Yeah, you can have a bar on campus. Wow. And that was like bartender, short order cook, everything else. And then I also worked in the library, which I have to admit was my favorite thing. And then when I went to my second year of college, I was, instead of staying on campus, I lived at a home there in New Orleans, and I was like the house manager kind of thing, because they had like a maid that would come in twice a week, and they had a cook, and they had the, and I was like the guy who would coordinate, make sure that everything got done. You know, as a list, did you do these? So that was kind of fun. I wouldn't say butler, but it was kind of fun. You know, organizing and telling what people what to do. You know how fun that is, right, Gary?
Wow. I did not see that fucking bus coming.
You know I love it.
I know.
But then when I got out of college, I started I didn't finish college. I then worked on a construction site for 3 or 4 years. My dad was in construction. By that time, he wasn't on site. He was in the main office or in the corporate office. And so when I moved back home from college, I worked as a carpenter's assistant. And then I worked as the steel workers, the guys who actually are up on the beams that, you know, you put together before there's actually a building. That didn't last long. I saw someone. It's a very, very dangerous job. So if those people are crazy, there's a reason. I saw someone fall and get hurt, and I was just like, I'm not going to take that risk. So I moved on to working in offices, where I then started doing what I do now, which is I work for a credit card processor. I check on credit card sales to make sure the person using the card has the right to use the card. And I don't want to talk about Target. Let's not talk about Target. Because there was a big tirade about someone from someone on a Cubs Outload episode about Target, if I recall correctly.
Well,
yes, we have, to be fair, one of our hosts represents that company and doesn't yes. want to talk about it either.
it's just a nightmare, and I support him 100%. So anyway, everything he said was absolutely right on. So then while doing that, I went back to school and managed to work two jobs and go to school and finish my interpreting degree for sign language, American Sign Language. And then I worked for about 6 years doing that freelance. And the last year, then 2 more years I did, I worked at a high school or in a school district at 2 different high schools, interpreting for a student. And, I found that what I really loved about interpreting was the work, but the whole business side of it, where you got to pay your taxes and get your health insurance and all the business related stuff about, you know, making sure you get paid because you work for how many different agencies and they all have different pay rates. And that stuff was really, really hard. And I hadn't thought to take any classes on that or get any kind of help. And so that kind of went by the wayside. Mm. So I went back to when I moved here, Louisville, Kentucky. I got a job with directly with a credit card processor, and I've been successful doing that.
Huh.
So
good deal.
Yeah. Yeah, lots of different stuff.
Some things kind of like fell into place then for me mentally. Because I feel like when I talked with you in the past, you relate to a really broad spectrum of things.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, there's gotta be more going on. And I think it's just about life experience. The more you're in different situations, you meet different people, you do different things, you gain knowledge from all of that stuff. And I'm not trying to, you know, make a statement like it's a judgment against someone who, you know, lives in one place and works one job their whole life. That's perfectly fine as well. You know, you could be just as vastly interested in things if you engage, you know, to learn no matter what your situation is. I think that's pretty interesting. The veterinarian thing, it really intrigued me.
That was as a young kid when I was like, again, like 15 or 16. And it involved, you know, holding animals during examinations and doing some of the blood and fecal tests and performing the tests, not really getting the samples.
Wow.
But you learn a lot of stuff about people and the way they relate. People relate very differently to their pets. You know, some people, it's very common to hear people talk about pets as their children, but there are other people that is not the case. The pet is a investment for them, a financial investment, or the pet is a gift for somebody else, and their investment in the animals is not as much as the person who cares about their child.
Oh.
Hmm.
You know, like when, for example, around Easter time, kids get bunnies and chicks for pets from their families. I don't know if that happens here, but it happened a lot in Virginia. And then, of course, you know, 3 or 4 weeks into it, the novelty's worn off and someone has to take care of the animal, or then what?
So. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you bring up a good point. I think that's something I see every now and then that comes up thematically. Especially during the winter, I've seen a lot of posts online and social networks regarding the weather and the temperature. And, you know, basically pet lovers, pet owners calling out others and saying, you know, if you can't live in the temperatures outside, whatever the weather elements are, don't you dare leave your animals out there either.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I have a previous coworker of mine. She works in another field now, who is fanatical, I guess is a good word, about animals. Like, she just posted this past week about how she like saw a dog out in a car out in the parking lot at a restaurant. And she was really upset about the fact that the dog was left out there and it was cold outside. And so she went back inside to the restaurant and asked around, and here to come find out it was the owner of the restaurant. It was his dog.
Oh,
and
no.
She verbally challenged him and told him, she said, I think you should bring the dog inside or take the dog home or whatever. She's like, but it's irresponsible to leave the dog outside in your car. And I guess they kind of got into a little bit of a fight. And he was like, well, you can't tell me what to do with my dog. And she's like, well, fine. She's like, actually, I can tell you what to do. You can do whatever you want. And I'm going to call the cops. Like, she's just that, like, she puts up with no guff about the fact that she believes that animals have rights, and that, you know, just because some people feel that, you know, human beings are a higher evolution or whatever, that we can dictate how they live their lives isn't right. And so I was going to like it, but then I was like, like, that gets a little dicey, you know, about getting into other people's lives and telling them what to do with their life. And there was one thing that she stated, which I thought was factually inaccurate. She had made in her statement, she said about that it was 11 degrees outside, and she had just posted like 5 minutes before, according to the timestamp. And I'm like, it's not 11 out. And sure enough, it wasn't. It was like, you know, just around freezing. It was around 32. And I know that sounds weird, but to me, that was the reason I held myself back, because I was like, yeah, but you're not being accurate. Like, there's a big difference between nearly 10 degrees and freezing level. And I'm not saying, I want to talk about like whether or not that has an impact on an animal. I was just like, if you're going to go this far, you should really be careful about how you're going to make an accusation and, you know what I mean, and make statements and take a stand, because if you want people to be supportive of you, then they get kind of held to that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that,
well,
go ahead.
well, speaking to a different level of that, I mean, having a pet, is that really, I mean, I know it's good for us to identify with another living being in our lives, we're living alone, or I understand why people have pets, but at the same time, if we didn't breed animals to be pets, then they'd be out having better lives. So should we have pets in general?
I mean, oh.
Yeah, I know it's, you know, multiple generations and it's probably way not the right form for it, but you know, there's that thought process that, you know, aside from cruelty to pets, why are we even having pets in the first place? The pet is not providing a service like a sheepdog that's doing herding or something like that. So, yeah, I know.
And now deep thoughts with Gabriel.
Wasn't there like a Saturday Night Live skit?
Yes. Deep Thoughts by Jack Handy.
Yeah. So anyway, moving on. Sorry about that, guys.
No, that's fine. I think that kind of leads to another thing. I think people would like to know what your interests are. I take it that you have I'm going to presume that you get along with animals. Do you have any? Any pets?
I do not currently. When I left my last living situation, I had two dogs. Love them dearly. And Buzzbud's cat loves me, although we do weekly visits. We don't do a live with thing. And I can't have pets where I live right now. So. It's fine. I, as much as I get along with pets, I get along with humans as well. So.
Gotcha. I love my sonnet.
Wouldn't it be? You love your what?
My sonnet, who is currently in the closet again.
What is she doing? I mean, she's a sweet dog, but I'm curious about this. You posted earlier that she was in the closet.
Well, I have my spare sheets in the closet and like mattress pads and such. Well, just recently, within the past week or so, or a couple of weeks. She found them and is now occasionally going into the closet and then curling up inside those sheets. So
now you can be near your dog every time you put the extra sheets on.
Well, and she sleeps on the bed and she sleeps under the bed and she sleeps on her bed and then she also sleeps on the couch. So she's got plenty of places to sleep and lay down in. But I think this is more of kind of like one of those like a dog cave sort of things because of the closet instead of.
Is she pregnant? Is she gonna?
Oh no, she can't be pregnant. Oh. She's been snipped.
Thank you.
yeah. So she's been there, and every time she sees me like really look in there, she'll like immediately come out. But I've never scolded her or anything.
Aww.
Or anything, I just look in and I go, oh, hi. And then I walk away because, you know, I don't care. She's fine. She's being a good girl. And the thing is, she sneaks in there because I never have actually seen her go into the closet to do curl up. She just kind of ends up there. Like, I thought she was on the couch. And I turn around and she's not on the couch. I'm like, oh, she must be in the bedroom. So I look in the bedroom. Not under the bed, not on the bed. And so I'm like, oh, she must be in the closet. So I just kind of like slowly moved my head to look into the closet until I saw her ear. And then I went back because I didn't want to surprise her or have her really see me and think I'm, you know, going to try to have her come out or anything. Because I want her to be comfortable and, well, I'm doing a podcast, so she's fine. But yeah, I like dogs because it's kind of companionship. It's I don't know, just that kind of caretaker need.
Yeah,
but I don't think I could stand a child at all. But the dogs at least take care of themselves at least a little bit, and I get to feed her each day and take a walk, and cuddle her even though she glares at me. But that's my opinion about pets. Moving on.
Okay.
So, Gabe, the way I met you was through the bear community. I don't know about Damon necessarily, what his connection was. It the same thing, like from going to Bear Runs, or
it was at Midwest Bear Fest, wasn't it, Damon?
I think it was Midwest Bear Fest. It may have, yeah, it was Midwest Bear Fest. Yeah, 2000. It was the year before I won the Midwest. So it was either 2006 or 2007.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, something like that.
And
so Indianapolis is becoming the nexus of people creating bonds.
Mm-hmm.
Whichever way you want to take that.
Well, it's a huge, huge event. I mean, you can't get that many people together and not at least some clicks and.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So what is your, I'm curious, what is your relationship with the bear community? How did you come about to find out about it or get involved?
I think it was my third partner, Trent, and I were living, he had just moved in with me in Richmond, Virginia, and he started talking about bears, and there was all this, you know, he had all these magazines with big chunky guys in them. I was like, well, that's interesting. And it's okay. You know, it's the typical story of, well, I just discovered that it's okay for me. People like the way people that look like me. And it was a very narcissistic moment. Yep. I'll admit it. But, yeah, it was, he had introduced me to that, arena, to the fact that there are bears and there's groups to get together of these guys, and they're all gay and they're all big, and there was, and it was the very beginning of the bear movement as I understand it. And so we were, you know, it was nice to go out to coffee with five or six people and not be afraid of someone being a jerk to you.
So freaking true.
So that's how I found the bear community, and then, of course, dived right in. And when I finally moved to Seattle, I was and then the bear community and the girth and mirth community were very, very close together at that time, and still are in certain areas. So I was joined the bear group in Richmond or in D.C. because it was close. And then when I moved to Seattle, joined the bear group there. And
you've done, you've been in magazines, correct?
I have been on the cover of a magazine.
Oh.
Oh, good gracious. I didn't realize we had one of those guests today.
And the centerfold of the same said magazine. No, I'm kidding.
So we have a cover bear on our show.
Actually, it was interesting because that started in the Girth and Mirth community. I was the vice president of Girth and Mirth Seattle. And the wonderful thing about being in the bear community or in that community is that as soon as you hit the scene, everybody wants to take pictures of you and put you in their magazine. And it's a very good ego booster. And so I was on, I was in an issue of Bulk Mail, M-A-L-E. Ooh. And I was on the cover of American Grizzly 1 year or 1 month. And there was another magazine that I can't remember the name of, but it was like a, what we would call a one-handed magazine. You hold the magazine. Do you get where I'm going?
Yeah, I get it.
That's an uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And I was so disappointed with the first set of pictures because I didn't smile. And I was, and this brought home to me some of the things I really enjoy about looking at porters. If I got, look like you're having a good time. Because if you're not having a good time, why are you doing it?
That's true.
So, yeah, I've been in a couple magazines, and there's a couple XTube videos out there. So I do not have an XTube account, so you would have to find them on somebody else's account.
Wow. And now everyone, clackety, click, click, click.
Exactly.
Yeah, here on mail.com, through the covers of the...
Yeah, I don't have any idea which issue it was, and Bulk Mail is no longer in existence. And it was interesting because the first magazine sent me a copy of the magazine. That was my compensation. Aside from, you get a free ad. Remember when they had ads in the back of the magazines?
I remember those.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's It was great because it was like one Craigslist ad right after the other. It really was.
Yeah.
And then the second magazine sent me like a cap, like a baseball cap and a free year's worth of the magazine. And the third magazine was like, well, you got to be in the magazine. That's all.
Nice.
Like, thank you. I'm done. But it was nice to be, you know, and it's so funny because people will walk up to me at a bear run or a leather event. And it's been like 4 or 5 years since that particular image has surfaced. And they will have a copy of the magazine and ask me to sign it. And I'll be like, what? Oh, that's right.
So, I did that. Yeah.
I did that. Yeah.
And this is what I try to tell the young ones when they're like, I think I want to do porn. I'd be like, okay, well, just remember that shit's forever.
And if anyone here has done porn, like video porn, have you ever watched yourself having sex? It's just not as sexy as when it was happening.
do you find that you become like judgmental or editorial? Like,
oh, yeah, of myself. Absolutely. Absolutely. If I had just turned left a little, or if I had,
damn it!
What would have been best for the camera?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So,
if only I could have seen myself in a monitor or something, I would have put my leg over there and
right.
Nice.
The other thing that's really irritating about porn is when they do the same activity for like the older porn that I would watch. They would do the same. You know, they would be sucking dick for like 45 minutes. Like, no one does that. You know, you do that and you move on to another thing. You do that for 5 or 10 minutes. You move on to something else. They would like suck dick for like 15, 20, 30, 40 minutes. I'm like, that's unrealistic. And I thought to myself, wait, what am I watching?
You're watching porn. Right. Yes. I've been.
It's a fantasy.
Okay. Yeah.
So what else?
That made me laugh because I was like, oh, so apparently Gabe wants reality in his fantasy.
Oh, yeah.
Reality? What?
Actually, huh? Actually, you know what? I don't have to watch porn anymore. I just close my eyes and think about all the wonderful guys. And I got porn in my head.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
For some reason, that doesn't always satisfy me.
Now that or the stories. I love it. Yes, I read the magazines for the stories and the articles. No. I like reading the stories, but I must have like 6 years of hand jobs in my Kindle.
Wow.
Now there's a statement I have not heard to date.
Yeah.
I have copies of hand jobs in my Kindle. That's a selling point I had never thought of. I didn't realize that was possible.
The new Amazon Kindle, now more hand jobs.
So actually, the reality is you can send them any PDF document and they'll translate and send it to you. So,
wow.
I have them in electronic format. I'll be, Gary, you can contact me later.
Nice.
Always good to share porn.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's probably why Tumblr is so preferred at this time.
Thank you.
So, in addition to the bear community, I know not much about this other than that you have been involved in leather as well. How did that come about?
Interestingly, in the same time frame of my life, my third partner, Trent, was HIV positive when I met him. And I was not and am not at this date. But in order for us to get together and have sex, we had to figure out ways to have sex that was hot and exciting, but not necessarily involving unsafe activities, read in their penetration. And so we were introduced to the leather community in DC. There were times when we would drive up to the Eagle in the Thunderbird with the T-tops. Drive nice. Up to DC, we'd split into the Eagle and take separate floors, go home with someone, come back for brunch and mimosas at the Eagle, and then drive home. But the leather community was amazing because there were all these exciting things that would turn you on, and and that would make you excited and all these points and places on your body that you never thought could be sexy. And it was also a mindset. It's like, okay, this hurts, but how do you make your brain flip the pain pleasure barrier? And I started having sex and enjoying the leather community as a way to have safe sex.
Huh. Interesting.
That's a good way of thinking of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think you're the first person that's ever put it that way, even though I've been acquainted with the leather community probably almost as long as the bear community. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever heard anybody kind of put it that way.
Well, and that was how I became introduced to and enjoying the leather community. I was kind of the community, I was in the community, but it wasn't of the community. I wasn't giving back and I wasn't helping it become what it is or what it will be. Until I got to Seattle, and in Seattle, Washington, I was one of the first people to work at and help with the Sex Positive Community Center, affectionately known as the Wet Spot. And you can find it online. And I was there for the inception of that. And when they moved to a new space that they had rented or was thinking of purchasing and raised their capital campaign, raising money, I interpreted for, and since it was a private club, you had to be introduced to what was going to be showing up at the club. So if you're a straight man that wants to be at the club with a straight woman and you want to be having this kind of activity, recognize that there's also going to be gay men there. There's going to be straight men there. There's going to be people there who don't want to have sex. They just want to talk. So there were these introductory class kind of things that were like, you know, if you're not in a scene, you don't need to be going over there and talking to them. Keep your comments over in this area. It was about learning to respect other people's play spaces and the way they have sex. And it was about not doing anything stupid that would get the club closed down, because frankly, it was a great place. And I mean, they even had a library. Wow. You think you've seen porn.
Oh my.
And, what else? So when I started, you know, interpreting for them for those classes, and then I started, you know, attending some of the workshops they had and started asked to be doing volunteer work. That's how I felt like I became a part of the community instead of just taking advantage instead of being in the community, of the community. That felt great.
Hmm.
Cool. So how long has it been that you've been involved in the leather community?
Oh, let me think. It's in my bio. Richmond was in the late 80s, if I recall correctly. And then Seattle was in the mid to late 90s. And so I've been working with people helping the leather community become what it is for since 2001, 2002. So I guess 10 years, maybe more.
Hmm. Okay.
So it's awesome.
And you just recently went to a leather conference that you do, I think, every year out in the Southwest.
Mm-hmm. Southwest Leather Conference. I think I talked about it in the last Skype interview, too. Yeah. Go ahead.
I don't know where you're going with that. What my question is going to be is, what is it? Because I've never heard of it before until you brought it up.
The
Southwest Leather Conference happens in Phoenix every year, and they have they're a regional conference. So if you have a title that you got from your local community, whether it's your town or your local bar, then you go to a regional conference to compete for the next level, and then you go to national. This is a regional conference, and they have two contests. The one is the Master and Slave, and the other is the Bootblack, Community Bootblack. And I've been going to this. I was interpreting an event in Indianapolis, and one of the producers saw me interpreting, and they're like, went home to Phoenix, Arizona, and said, "We've got to get this guy." And so they brought me in to interpret, and I've been going back every year, not just because they asked me because it's an amazing experience. And you get to see people that you don't get to see all year long, as just like you do at the bear runs. Hmm. And but the event is not just focused on the dynamic of, you know, how a dominant or master relates to a submissive or a slave, but it's also about how does, and not just about the dynamic, but how do you keep it alive? What are some day-to-day things that that masters and slaves that are successful in their relationship do to keep that successful? You know, what kind of rules do you set up? Is it okay for a master to love their slave? Is it okay for, and it's interesting because a lot of the master-slave contestants and the way that people are looking at their relationships, they're straight people. We're not going to have sex with gay people. But last year there was a gay couple up there, and there's always a variety of judges, including someone who's not in a master-slave relationship at all. Because what they're trying to do, like with most of the contests, is find someone who can represent the community and explain what they're about. But the rest of the conference really focuses on the what we call the woo or spiritual areas in leather and kink. And it's like, okay, if you believe in metaphysics and not just beating on someone, but if you believe that when you're in your space or in your scene that you raise energy or that you go somewhere and you do something, it's not just inside your head, that things are physically happening to you and things are metaphysically happening to you. What do you do with that? Do you use that energy inside of yourself? Do you give it up to the person who was just, I mean, what exactly do you do with it? And how do you use that to improve your situation, the situation of the people around you? And also talks about, I'm trying to think how to word it. I mean, there's always some kind of crazy, there's always something that's happened in the community that everybody has an outrage about. Some issue where, you know, oh, the boot blacks are told they can do this, but they can't do that. Or the transgender folk are told they can do this, but not that. Or the straight people are complaining because there's gay people, or the gay people are complaining because they're straight. There's always, every year, there's always some, oh my, and like at International Mr. Leather a couple of years ago, it was like, we're not going to allow vendors who have porn that's not safe. They can't have any bareback porn. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, you can imagine, you know, very polarizing.
Yeah.
So they spend a lot of time talking, and there's also a lot of religious ceremonies. And I don't mean like Christian.
It's like, all right, oh, and we're back. God,
please? Okay,
we're back. And so, audio difficulty. So just to let you know why it sounds so odd.
So, anyways, so a lot of religious ceremony and spiritual connection to not just each other, but the things that we do. And so, and it's not just like I said, a Christian ceremony every day. There's a space set aside where they have a drum circle every night, and they have a Muslim call to worship every day, every morning, and there's seven or eight different religious traditions that are represented throughout the weekend in this one space. And you don't have to go do that, but a lot of us do. And the when the event culminates, the one of the biggest things about it that you will see if you go on the website is what we call the Dance of Souls. And it is a Native American hook dance where they take big, imagine a fish hook that is 3 or 4 inches long from curve to tip, and they will pierce people behind the chest muscles. And then the idea is to, you know, they're hooked to a rope, and then someone, the idea is to create a different headspace where you can access more information about yourself, different information about yourself. And you can take spiritual journeys through your endorphin rush or through your opening your third eye or however you want to talk about it. So, and it's amazing because all of the events that I go to do have discussion groups, and they do have classes on technique, and they do have classes on, you know, social interaction with people of different, social, I don't know, how transgender and straight people get along, how gay people and kinky people get along, how men and women get along, boys and daddies and that kind of thing. All the events have those kinds of, but this event is the only one I've been to where someone talks about, you know, opening yourself to experiences that you have not had. And it's amazing. The dance lasts for like I think it lasted 6 hours this time. And they hire drummers to come with these giant kettle drums, and the whole time it's just this amazing beat. So
cool.
Yeah, it's an amazing event. I go every year, come back recharged.
And that's it for this part of COL 247. If you'd like to contact Gabriel, please shoot us an email and we'll forward it on for you. If you'd like to contact us, well, you've heard it before. Tune in next week for the rest of our chat with Gabriel. Until then, good night, everybody!